Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in Washington. Tonight, dual citizenship.
If you're a dual citizen of America and an African country, you get to fly into Europe visa-free. And that in itself is, you know, it just kind of helps you with all the, there'll be no inconvenience.
Well, what is a dual citizenship? This means multiple nationality. It is a person's citizenship status in which a person is concurrently regarded as a citizen of more than one country under the laws of those countries. So, is this a good thing? Is this also a symbol of no allegiance? Well, we'll find out tonight. As usual, Let's Talk. We'll explore this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. Now it's time to welcome to our show again.
Hello, Sunday. Nice
welcome
to be
back.
Here. Thank you.
And of course, on the line, I have Sule Suleiman. Welcome back, Suleiman.
Thank you very much, Sunday.
Suleiman Tadawali, the man of Sierra Leone. In this edition, we'll be discussing dual citizenship. Okay. For those who have dual citizenship, what are the benefits are they having? And I spoke to attorney Maurice Isaac, and I wanted to know his take.
One of the advantages is then you have more access to different countries because you can go visa-free to different countries. And then there's always an advantage in having dual nationality. So I will recommend anyone that is in a situation that is available for him to become a dual citizen to take advantage of that.
Okay. But there's one thing that I want to know as well. Some people would mention that you have to show allegiance in one country versus the other. And when that situation comes in, some people are at disadvantage. Now, is there any way you think that anybody can be at a disadvantaged situation? Because a good example is in Tanzania. There were people who really wanted to be citizens of other countries.
Yeah.
But they were like in limbo.
Yeah, that is correct. Because if a country's laws restrict its citizens from becoming a dual citizen of another country, that would be very, very, very disadvantageous to those country. Even in Nigeria, up till 1991, Nigerians' dual citizenship was not allowed. Until, you know, the president at that time made the law that allowed dual citizenship. And so if there's a law that restricts citizens from being dual citizens of another country, yes, they just have to go by their own rules. They just have to go by the rules of the country.
So basically, you recommend that strongly for those who think that having a dual citizenship is a problem. What do you tell them?
I would tell them that they should go and do more research and find out about the advantages of dual citizenship. For example, if you're a dual citizen of America and an African country, you'll be able to fly into Europe visa-free. And that in itself is, you know, it just kind of helps you with all the, there'll be no inconvenience.
Oh, yeah.
You just, you know, stop over any country. You don't have to start worrying about going for visas, mm-hmm. where the embassy, then you line up and do all those stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can really take off at very quick notice. So sometimes you might need to go to London, something just cropped up the next 3 days. You don't have to go book an appointment for mm-hmm. a visa for the next 2 months. Then you get the visa. Then the opportunity may have gone.
Right.
So I would recommend, like, if someone had an American visa, passport or something, you buy a ticket tonight and he'll be in London tomorrow morning.
Next day.
So if you are to ask me, I strongly recommend. And another thing again is, don't use the word respect, but the kind of, whether we like it or not, we have to be, that sometimes some kind of passports, you know, kind of make you move faster at borders.
Right.
So I think people should keep that in mind too.
Yeah, they got to.
Like, you know, you are going to Japan, and then you have one small country's passport, and you have a U.S. passport at the border. Trust me, the guy with the U.S. passport will get in 10 seconds. you get my point. So if you have a passport from no disrespect to any country, maybe for like Burkina Faso, the immigration officer might be wondering, where is this guy from? Then he might even spend 10 hours trying to figure out who you are.
You come from?
Yeah, but when you come in with an American passport, I can't even tell you my personal experience.
I
used to travel to England with a Nigerian passport.
Okay.
And I spent time at the immigration guy. I mean, I was getting.
Yeah.
Then when I became a citizen, which has been years, so I get to London, and the guy is asking me, and then remember, when you have to get a visa. Now, the problem is, when I get to London, I tell the guy at the visa place that I want to come and watch a soccer game. That's what I tell the guy with my American passport. He says, so what are you looking for? I say, I want to come and watch Manchester United play Arsenal.
Yeah.
And he says, okay. I say, how long do you want to stay? I say, I'm staying 2 nights. He gives me 6 months visa.
Wow.
Yeah, he don't give me 6 months. Just because, if I was coming from Nigeria, I dare not say that.
No way.
He's like, what? Now he says, this guy's dumb. So I'm not giving you the difference. When I was coming from Nigeria, I would have my business hat on. I will have a suitcase full of documents, checks, and all kinds of credentials he's going to cross-check.
Wow.
No, I don't cross-check. I just show him the passport. If it makes sense.
So save yourself a hassle, basically.
Yeah, save yourself a hassle.
Thank you, Maurice Isaac. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing dual citizenship. Okay, now back to the studio. Ayen Bior.
Hello.
Are you experiencing this yourself? Or what do you think once someone have more than one nationality? Is this something of a disadvantage or a great advantage?
You know, I think that it really can be both. I know a lot of people with dual citizenships, and for me, it just seems like something that's very normal, especially for my generation. I have a ton of friends who were born in Africa, spent the first, you know, the formative years in Africa, and then moved here. And so in their hearts, you know, they claim the United States as well as their home country as theirs. And that is also reflected in their citizenship a lot of times. So it can be beneficial in a lot of ways. But of course, if you have to pay taxes in both countries, that's something that, you know, is...
Yeah, that could be a downfall maybe.
Exactly.
Right?
But I have a friend who, you know, she's actually from France.
Okay.
She has dual citizenship in France and, you know, here in the U.S.
Wow.
She wanted a job with the U.S. government. They were like, look, like, you know, that, that's
not
going to work. You got to either pick us or them. And so she had to decide. And that was a difficult decision for her. And she made it for herself. Dual citizenship, it seems so normal to me. Anything, it definitely could be good or bad.
Okay. Well, let's hear from Suleiman Tarawali. Tell me, Suleiman Tarawali, what about you, my friend? What do you think about having dual citizenship?
Well, I mean, just like the former speaker said, you know, it could be good or bad. Because you see, I mean, like, for instance, I'm from Sierra Leone. I do have dual citizenship. And I also do know people who have dual citizenship. But you see, what is going on in Sierra Leone is that if you are an American citizen with a Sierra Leone passport, you can use your passport, your Sierra Leone passport, your West African passport, to travel to Sierra Leone, avoiding the visa fee. And when you're coming back to the United States, you can also use your United States passport and come back safely. But another thing that, I mean, I want to express here with regards to this is the implications having dual citizenship. Because I read a memo from the State Department which says that you can become a dual citizen, but if you travel to your country or to another country and you get involved in any crime or any, I mean, contravention of the law over there, the State Department or the American Embassy is very much limited as to what they can do to help you because you originally came from that country. Their laws, they are supersedes the laws of the United States.
Okay.
Yes, there are lots of jurisdiction. In fact, I mean, I could, cite an example here. There was a few years back, I think it was like about 5, 6, 8 years ago, there was a lady in Virginia, I think Alexandria, Virginia, who was a dual citizen from Sierra Leone. And when she went back to Sierra Leone, she got involved in politics. And she and a few other guys were accused of attempting to overthrow the government.
Wow.
What happened in that case was that her families tried to intervene, went to the American embassy, so the American embassy were intervened so she could have the American Australian government would have leniency over what it was going on. But what the American government found out was that they checked the arrival and departure records at the airport, and they found out that this lady had traveled on a Sierra Leonean passport to Sierra Leone. So the American embassy was not able to do anything about it because she was a Sierra Leonean. And unfortunately, she and 23 others were executed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That is a tough one. Well, hold it right there. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shamari, in a Washington studio with Ayen Bior and Suleiman Tarawali. Right now, we are discussing dual citizenship. Well, some countries like Tanzania does not currently allow its citizens to hold foreign citizenship in addition to their Tanzanian citizenship. And that is the ban on dual citizenship has been there and somewhat, some people say and believe, has been motivated by suspicions about potential disloyalty amongst the ones that are living abroad. So anyway, I spoke to Al Hassan and I wanted to know his take.
I have a lot of friends, you know, some of which are here in Washington and in New York and all over, who had to go for American citizenship, but then they had to revoke their Ghanaian citizenship before they took that of America. That's the law. But I knew that there was some work being done to institute that the bill, the dual citizenship bill. The last check, I don't know how far it has gotten to. But on the whole, there are some African countries, particularly Ghana, that if one decides to get to go for another country's citizenship, it may become a problem when you're trying to secure government's top level appointments. You know, we have a lot of politicians who have faced a lot of stumbling blocks. You know, when they appear before the appointment committee, the vetting process. Some of them, I think one or two, some of them had some of the most hostile sessions. I mean, vetting process was really, really, really unfriendly for a lot of them. So,
and that's where the problem comes in.
You're
right about that. And that's why I think some countries, as I gave you example, Tanzania was trying to reform their constitution last year.
Yeah.
And they went through a very vigorous process of voting and proposals all over the country.
Yeah.
But when it came to the citizenship status, dual, they called in the immigration officials in the country to speak to the parliamentarians and the people who was in that special parliament who came from all walks of life to decide whether they want or not. And they came to tell them. It was like to influence them in a way to say, nah, this is not in our national security interests. We cannot have this kind of dual citizenship in our country. But hey, if you want to take another country's citizenship, sure, go ahead. But you're going to have to revoke your Tanzanian citizenship. But this has been received in so many mixed reviews in the country, especially the ones in the diaspora.
I know, yeah, exactly. When you are in the African investor community here in the US, you see that happening a lot, to the extent that even the same idea has gained currency within the African-American community, business community who invest in Africa or want to invest in Africa. They think, you know, there is a whole lot of, you know, advocacy for citizenship for African diaspora. African diaspora meaning African Americans, you know, who have got their roots over 500 years ago from Africa. Not just Africans
moving to the States.
Yeah, yeah. There is that clamor. And then they're doing it broadly. They're trying to campaign at the level of the African Union.
Thank you, Al Hassan. This is Let's Talk. And we are discussing dual citizenship. Now back to the studio. This is a tough one for some other countries, like the example I cited with the country of Tanzania.
Tanzania.
Yeah. But do you think that it's high time for them to think of changing? Because there has been talks in that country for people to change that law so they can, you know, enjoy to have dual citizenship. And it went through the assembly, a specific constitutional assembly, but it didn't go through. So I don't know, but it was received with different feelings in that country and also for Tanzanians living abroad.
Right, you know, what I wonder about that decision is the economic benefit of not having dual citizenship. And so if the government of Tanzania is saying, no, we don't want you to carry both, I think it's actually a smart move just on the economic factor, because it encourages Tanzanian citizens to stay in the country help the economy by working in the country, you know, buying food and, you know, products from the country. So I think just from the economic factor, I think that they would have a stronger argument versus the trust issue, because the trust thing just really, to me, and I haven't really looked into this, but the trust thing just really boils down to conspiracy theories. I'm interested, you know, Sully. I don't know if you have any say, just based on the economic benefits of the argument.
Okay, I got your point. Well, Suleiman.
Most of the people who actually get dual citizenship with the United States, I mean, some people look at it as a way of protecting themselves. I mean, just that peace of mind while you're here in the United States. I'm talking about economic issues. There are certain jobs here within the United States that if you have a dual citizenship, you'll not be able to get those jobs. So people try to protect themselves to get good jobs, to be able to work, and, I mean, be able to take care of their families back home.
Right.
So that is most of the time why people, I mean, get dual citizenship. There are others who might look at it that it's a betrayal. How can you give up your citizenship? I mean, for another country's citizenship. But you try to look at it from the perspective that, you're convenient. You're convenient. And making money is essentially why, economic reasons, that's why essentially most of us leave our home countries and come to this country, apart from education.
You're right.
Right. I believe your last point was about education. And so, you know, I think that's a really, really important point, because if you are a U.S. citizen, you have so much more access to scholarships than if you're just a permanent resident. And so eventually young people have to decide if they want to keep their citizenship back home or go over and get a U.S. citizenship, because it's, I remember whenever I was applying for scholarships and it was like, must be U.S. citizen, must be U.S. citizen. So that's another important point that people have to keep in mind, is really how can my path benefit more? Like, am I going to benefit more from being a South Sudanese citizen who's not living in Sudan or in South Sudan, or is being a U.S. citizen going to carry more weight? So that's also something important that I think people should consider.
Oh, yeah. And I think also with the people who are living like refugees, for instance, they have to make that decision at some point after living in a certain country for some time.
Yeah.
And
remember, they become residents.
Yes, become residents. And then if you want to be a citizen, that's fine. If you don't, it's okay. But I think I remember in Tanzania at some point, they had so many refugees from the neighboring country of Rwanda and Burundi.
That it was overwhelming.
Yeah. And they had to say that they were closing one of the camps, and they said, we have to make you guys decide.
Yeah.
Whether you want to be a Tanzanian or you want to be a Burundian. And those who decided to be Tanzanians, okay, you stay in the country. Those who don't, they got to go back to Burundi. And that was a tough decision for some people.
Yeah.
And going back to what we are discussing, you see, most of these other African countries refuse to let their citizens become dual citizenship. I mean, especially with the United States, because of fear that people might come here, get educated, and then see the atrocities that these African leaders are committing against their people, go back home and try to remove them from power. So that's the reason why they try to make it very impossible, because, like, I mean, Andy was saying, if you become a U.S. citizen, you can go to school, you can be able to have access to scholarships and grants, but, I mean, if you are not, you have to work hard for it.
Right.
And working hard for it means, I mean, finding or working like 16 hours a day jobs, 12 hours a day jobs, which would be difficult. But like, I mean, if you become an American citizen, I mean, you would work very hard, because it's a country where if you don't work hard, you don't get anything, you don't succeed. So, my point of view again is that, I mean, these African leaders are scared of their shadows. because they know if any paper...
Hold it right there. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa service. It comes to you Mondays at 17 hours 30 universal time right here on the Africa service of the Voice of America. We'll be back.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here. Only the best on VOA Africa.
Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa service of the Voice of America. Now, back to you guys in the studio. Tarawali, you were talking something. You're back to your point here.
What I was saying is that the greatest fear amongst our leaders in Africa of their so-called ideas of objecting or opposing their citizens becoming dual citizens, especially with the United States or Britain or France, is because they know when these people come overseas, or most of us come overseas, we achieve dual citizenship. We can go to school, having scholarship or grants, and become more educated. And there is a point in time when every one of us will say, home is home, I want to go back home. And when you go back home, with all the education that you've had, but their fear is that if educated people who are original citizens of these African countries go back to their home countries, with some influence here, making friends here with strong Americans, they might, have the intention of going to contest elections and easily win or perhaps overthrow their governments. So that is the reason why they're totally opposed to, their citizens becoming American citizens.
Right.
Right.
And you know something else, Sunday? I think that it creates a disadvantage to the people on the ground. So let's take a country like Tanzania. Let's just say that Tanzania did allow dual citizenship. Well, okay. So let's take it for example. You are in Tanzania. You, Sunday Shomari, are in Tanzania. You're only a citizen of Tanzania. Me, I'm also in Tanzania, a citizen of Tanzania and the United States. So I have a greater advantage over you because I can get grants and loans from the U.S. to build a business in Tanzania. Mm-hmm. And I can also benefit from, everything Tanzania has to offer.
Right.
So, I think that having dual citizenship is really a disadvantage to the people who don't have dual citizenship.
Right. And that's the way you can look at it, right? And that's maybe why some countries are saying, no, we don't want to do this. We don't want to give other people advantage over the others.
Equalize the playing field.
Playing field, right. But anyway, at the end of the day, well, it's up to these countries to decide. Well, hold it right there. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing dual citizenship. Let's Talk, and we're discussing dual citizenship. It's time now for the unusual story of the week.
At 18 years old, Calafine Forrester is already living her dream and the dream of millions of artists. The young artist is a senior at the High School of Art and Design. Her artwork was recently selected to appear in the world-renowned Metropolitan Museum of Art in Manhattan in New York. The oil-painted piece is titled Uganda and entered into the museum after it was selected as a winning piece in the scholarships competition PSR 2016, celebrating the creative spirit of NYC kids. Forrester said that she chose to paint this image after scrolling through some old photographs from her mission trip to Uganda with her church. I saw the picture and felt inspired to paint it, she said. When asked what's next for the teenager, she said she's planning to attend the Fashion Institute of Technology and major in fine art. My next goal is to get another piece in a museum. I never want to give up my work.
Thanks, and that's it for our show tonight, where we lightheartedly explored dual citizenship. A big thank you to our guests over the phone, Maurice, Isaac, and Al Hassan. And also, big thanks to my guests in the studio, Ian Bio.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you for coming back. And on the phone line, Suleiman Tarawali, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Jackson Vunganyi is our producer. Send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942. After the viewer announcement, leave us a message. That's 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in and join us again next Monday at 1730 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be genes. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for our discussion program Health Chat. Host Lino Mudu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.
This is VOA News.